Friends, welcome. Today we have again our friend Bart. You've seen him before. You kind of heard a little bit of his conversion story, and today we want to talk about. He's going to get into it, but discerning between a true and a false Holy Spirit. But Bart, tell us, and if you want to talk about kind of the previous video a little bit, kind of what happened, and then some of these things that the Lord has been putting on your heart.
Thank you, brother. Yes. Well, we just prayed together for this video. That's beautiful. So just a tiny second about last week. We did what I think was a beautiful video, very inspiring for us, the both of us. And then I saw in the little time that it was up, also that the love was tangible. I want to elaborate really briefly that while we did everything with a really good heart and we truly felt divinely inspired, there was some problems with it's irrelevant with who, but they, you know, they kind of asked us to put it down. And so Alvaro and I went into a prayer together, and we decided that for the sake of a soul, this should be said, for the sake of a soul, we took it down. We know souls are precious, and we believe that, you know, a living soul is as precious. So even more so, perhaps, you know. So that's what happened last week. But Alvaro, brother, we have been talking back and forth about what we believe to be, we call it the counterfeit Holy Spirit. What we think we are discerning in prayer in front of the tabernacle together. You over in the States, me here in Europe. Beautiful, we are all connected through the Eucharist, right? There's a spirit everywhere. Let me be really clear on that. That pretends to be the Holy Spirit, but then, you know, if you truly discern the fruits, and I think that's the only way to see it, it is not the Holy Spirit. And so, while in prayer and while in discernment, I think all of us who proclaim Christ and who want to follow him and walk towards him instead of away from him, it's a beautiful saying from Father Mark Beard, is to always discern whether we are being guided by the Holy Spirit or that we are guided by ourselves by giving into this other spirit, you know. So we know by Paul, St. Paul, that, you know, the fruits of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is kind. The Holy Spirit is loving. It is patient. It is non-judgmental. So, you know, if we have these things in mind, and then perhaps even in combination with the Ten Commandments, that we should always be wary or aware and aware of which spirit we are letting into our lives and which spirit we are letting us guide throughout the day. So what's your take on this, Alvaro, brother?
Yeah, I think it's important, you know. I think we always need to, like, I guess we can look at maybe there's the objective and then the subjective, you know. And the objective would be, is it leading you closer to the teachings of the church? Is it making you understand them more deeply, to hold on to them? And there's particular ones that we'll get into that are, you know, of the utmost importance. And also, is there signs of holiness there? Because sometimes, you know, people can hold on to the Catholic faith, but they don't have those fruits. It, you know, like an easy way to say it would be the people that live with you, at least like in a certain sense, do they find you a joy to live with? Are you pleasant? Do you add to the environment? Are you, you know, like someone like Mother Teresa, that the people around her would say, it's like I'm in heaven because of the service and the humility. And so that's the point of the fruits, that it makes, that you make people's lives like a living heaven. But it's also within the truth, you know, it's within the truth of that you're able to say hard things, that you're living a moral life, you know. And I think that's always important, because something can feel spiritual, but then maybe it leads you to, well, this isn't that as important, like the church's belief on the Pope or something like that, you know, or
yeah,
or, well, or there the we Blessed go. Mother, yeah, or you believe all those things, but you're rude to people and you're excessively, you know, you're judgmental in the worst sense of it, or you're just a mean person, you know? So it's good to kind of like that both of those things are there.
Right. And then, you know, what you just said, it's beautiful. It's, do you add to the environment? You know, I think if we look at Christ and his life, that we have to agree on the fact that wherever he went, whatever the people were like, he was, I mean, he is God, but he was there, no judgment, just telling the truth. And this is what it's all about. We are ought to share the truth that he has taught us, that he has showed us in his greatest mercy and grace. And one of the most important things, if not the most important things, ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is the Eucharist. His body, his blood. When we go to Mass, we are surrounded by angels, surrounded by the saints, for they kneel before his presence. John 6:66 is it's the verse that keeps speaking to me, where the people who don't grasp it, perhaps that's the right loving word, they walk away. But it's truly clear that these people are not with Christ anymore. We live in a world where we are ought to be. And I sometimes feel like, you know, hey, I have to be kind. But is being kind leaving the truth behind? You know, no, the truth will always be on top of that. So do not sugarcoat it, you know, like, hey, why are you not going to Mass? You know, it's like, and then I'm sure you have also experienced a lot of criticism, and we see a lot of, you know, hate against the church. But you know, if we're completely honest, how can one proclaim Christ? I follow Christ. I want to be more like Christ, but then just turn your back on the cross. Like, because that's basically what you're doing. It's like you turn your back to the cross and you speak for Christ into the world, but you turn your back on where he is suffering, where he is, you know, making that ultimate sacrifice so that the world can be saved. So what we need to do is make, you know, make that, if it's for you, if it's, would you call it a sacrifice, that you just accept that this is the truth, even if you cannot grasp it. You know, that is faith. When he tells us, this is my body, then it is his body. Period. It's Jesus that speaks to us. And then through the body of Christ, where we, you know, by God's grace and mercy, we can visit him. Hopefully, I pray for you, can visit him daily in a state of grace, where you get to be more like Christ every time that you receive him, is what Blessed Carlo Acutis says. He will be canonized this weekend. You will be there, brother.
Yeah. You know, one thing, an interesting thing to think about is Catholics in history, we haven't had everything that we have now. You know, in the early centuries, they didn't have all the apparitions of Our Lady. They didn't have the rosary. They didn't, there's a lot of things that they didn't have. They didn't have all the contributions of the saints. They maybe, I don't know what the liturgical calendar, you know, like a lot of things have developed, but they always had the Eucharist. The one, so if you were to say, okay, you know, I'm not going to talk to my guardian angel, you're missing out. But if you still, you know, like, but I'm not going to do this. But the one thing that you can't say I can do without is the Eucharist. That's the one thing that you have to have, that if you're going to be a Catholic, almost before anything else. There was even a time when there was multiple popes and there was confusion, who's the real one, but they still had the Eucharist.
It's the beating heart. It is the beating heart of our faith, because then, it's Jesus.
Yeah. And then you have to think, so then to Catholics that are devout, and I think even to liberal Catholics, this is, I think, that would be interesting. Sometimes very liberal Catholics will say, oh, you know, our separated brothers and sisters, they're fine because they have faith in Jesus and all this. But you could tell them, well, would you want to be them? would you want to give up the Eucharist? Even they go to Mass sometimes every sure. day, maybe like on Sundays. And I think yeah. they might say, oh no, I wouldn't do that. So, I mean, even a liberal Catholic that isn't conservative and all that stuff, I think even they would say, no, I'm not going to give up the Eucharist, regardless, even if they, whatever they believe about it. And so I think that's how we can maybe look at Protestants. It almost is like they have everything else except the most important part. So then all the stuff that they have, it's almost like it doesn't matter.
Well, you know, what's to me, it's what I keep think to notice. I think I'm noticing the same thing every time, is that, you know, we would agree. So, brother in Christ, Jesus is Lord. Yes, Jesus is Lord. You know, Jesus saves us. Yes, Jesus saves us. And then let's do a Hail Mary, something like that. And it's sort of like, oh, no, you know, or and then this phrase, it's not biblical. Do you know, it's the line, you know, that we get in our face. And, you know, at first I was, you know, when I was early Catholic, because, you know, the people have seen my video, I became Catholic because I met Jesus at the tabernacle, where he said to me, I am here, Bart, take my hand. And so before anything else, before scripture, before anything I knew, Jesus told me not only that he was real, but also that he was there in the tabernacle where the bread of heaven is. Yeah. So, you know, then came scripture. So the more I learn by God's grace and mercy, the more I see what he already told us, you know, that truth is fact. So, you know, but we have to, and this is a beautiful bridge to what we discussed at the start of this video, we have to make sure that we are speaking with the Holy Spirit by truly inviting the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is kind, patient, loving, understanding. And this part, understanding, is a big one. We need to understand why our brother or sister in Christ that's in front of us doesn't want to see him, doesn't believe in what we know, because it's a grace to know. Jesus also mentions in John that nobody goes to him except invited by the Father. It's a free interpretation right now, but you know this yeah. verse. Let us yeah. be instruments of love.
I think that that's a really interesting point, because one of the things that we can think of is we want to bring everyone to Jesus in the Eucharist. That's what he wants. That's the presence. That's the way he wanted to be present here on earth. Even before the 1500s, when Catholics didn't even have, when all of Christianity, they didn't even have the Bible accessible. So it's not even to bring them to a Bible. They didn't have that for 1500 years. And yet they were saints. Why? That the Eucharist is what makes you a saint, not necessarily the book of the Bible. Obviously, even though it's, we need that. But, and so, So with each person that we encounter, whether they're Christian or not, we can ask the Holy Spirit, what is something that's keeping them from believing in the Eucharist? Because then we could get that information, that understanding, and then maybe pray accordingly. Well, let me pray so that whatever that thing is can yeah. be removed.
I have this, you know, I have this this idea in my head where, you know, anonymously, you know, for the world, because it isn't about our credits, about believing in the power of prayer, is that we would, you know, find a group together, and then on a distance, perhaps in a video call, we offer a rosary 15 decades for all our Protestant brothers and sisters, so that they may find him in the bread. Because whatever reason they have a reason. And we know that the reason is false. But
exactly, yeah,
we love them, and we are ought to love them because God loves them.
So I think that on that, you know, it's an interesting double-edged sword, because on us, it helps us see we have such a gift, and then, amen. But then it's this responsibility, because for me, for instance, it could be easy to drive by those churches and think. And it's partially true. Maybe they're doing something good. They're okay. I don't need to worry about them. I need to worry about the atheists. They're the bad people, right? But maybe
well, it's interesting, yeah.
But instead thinking, wait a minute, like these people are starving just as much as the atheist, you know, maybe in a certain sense more because they think that they're being fed, but they're not. And then what am I doing to help lead them to the Eucharist, you know, which is a burden. It's a burden to be like, oh my gosh, now I have to feed these starving poor people, spiritually speaking.
Well, yes. And this is a really great point because I've been driving by a Seventh-day Adventist church for a couple of weeks now. I mean, actually for a couple of months, but I started noticing. And, you know, brother, I would love to just walk in and, but kind and loving. And then I just, you know, we have to be kind and loving, but then truly ask them, like, what is it you believe and why is it that you believe that? You know, I could search on the internet and probably get a lot of answers, but that will be me just sitting here. You know, wow. I think we're also called to go out there. And even if we only bring back home only one or two souls, you know, the seed will divide itself, you know. So there are probably, hopefully, by God's grace, Protestants watching this video who are now Catholics. So ex-Protestants, I'm sorry. Who know, please help us in the comments, perhaps, like, what has helped you? What yeah. was it that made you see? And what is it you experience now? And how does that make you see that this truly is Jesus' body and that it's truly the Holy Spirit that is working within the Holy Church and through the Holy Church is now working inside of you? What are the fruits in your life? What's the difference? What's the main difference with when you went to your Protestant denomination and, you know, seeing the brothers and sisters in Christ there, where a pastor would go up and probably do his sermon and that's it. You know, there has to be certain fruits that you now witness. I'm still talking to these brothers and sisters who have found the truth by God's grace, because, you know, we have been given the grace to instantly know, from our, you know, I've met God, I've met Jesus at the tabernacle. I knew this is his church because he saved my life there. You know, for me, there is no reason to ever doubt that. In fact, my faith has been growing by the day, even in layers, you know, everything that I'm given to learn about saints, that I'm given the church alone. I have found the intercession of Mary in my life when I started praying for holiness. God just sent me the rosary. It was God. So I started praying for holiness in my life. Next thing I know, I'm praying the rosary. I don't know why. Months later, I see how the Holy Spirit worked. I want it, like, hey, son, you want to be holy? All right, here's the rosary. You know, let's go. Let's do this. If we were talking like that, in terms like that, of course, it goes way deeper than that. But, you know, the fruits would be, for me, let's talk for me. I used to have huge anger issues, uncontrollable anger because of, you know, my powerlessness over situations, and deep inside the fear of rejection, of the fear of abandonment. And I would express it in anger that would, you know, and the enemy would get me so high up that, you know, I would burst out. And I've started praying ever since, you know, I got the knowledge about Jesus, about God, and then ultimately the Eucharist. And for those who saw the last video, when I went down on my knees in the ocean and asked for that mercy to truly cooperate with the mercy already given, it has never happened again. Never, ever. So, and I know it's a direct answer to my prayer, living the sacramental life, for, you know, when we find Jesus in the Catholic Church, we find redemption, and then the Catholic Church is the road to salvation. Jesus is the bridge. God told us through Catherine of Siena that Jesus is the bridge between heaven and earth that is constantly open. It never left. Jesus went up to heaven, but the bridge is still there. For those who, it's the book. It's called The Dialogue of Catherine of Siena. If you want to hear a vivid dialogue between a person, now a saint, even a church teacher for Europe, It's Catherine of Siena. It's called The Dialogue. There's a vivid conversation where God elaborates on so many things, where he even says there is no work that can be done that will make up for all the offenses. But through the sacraments, you will, if you truly give, surrender yourself to the sacramental life, you will develop the infinite desire to be with me. And that makes up for all that you have offended me with.
Yeah.
So the infinite desire to be with God is what gets us in to heaven, and he wants nothing more.
Yeah, and I think that there is for us to develop that understanding, what's blocking them, for us to kind of feel that beautiful burden to bring them, and then also for us to get more out of the Eucharist, like all the graces that are there, our encounters with Jesus there, because it's then we become more convinced of, okay, now I see even more. We really do need this. It's not just a great teaching, but it's without this, I wouldn't have been healed of my this, my that, my anger, have gotten these insights. You know, there's this friend of mine that whenever he wants to discern anything, he goes and prays before the Eucharist. And so then basically making ourselves more dependent on it, because then we'll gain more and we'll become more convinced to lead people to say, you do need this. Like, as much as Protestants have this sort of dependence on the Bible, where they would, if you were to ask them, can I take away your Bible? They would say, no, you'd have to kill me. If it was a devout Protestant, for us to say that about the Eucharist and take them, well, I can take you not only to the book, but to the person. He's right here.
He's right here. And that's what he is. In every corner of the world, he has left himself and humbled himself to that bread. And he is still Emmanuel. He is still Emmanuel. God is among us. He is still among us. And he is waiting there every day for every one of us. And so all we can do is ask for the guidance of the true Holy Spirit. And then nice add-on, I was blessed to have a meeting with an exorcist here from our diocese. And he said to me in our conversation, the one thing that I truly wish to share here is that the devil demands and the Holy Spirit invites. So if we find ourselves in any way demanding, it's probably not from God. If we find ourselves talking and we experience it such as an invite, because that is kind, loving, calm, the Holy Spirit is there with you. You can have faith. He is working through you. And it's the inner discernment to always be aware. And that requires an amount of, of patience yourself, but also an amount of faith that goes, you know, that is bold. You have to be really bold in our faith, because, you know, it might cost souls if we don't step up. It might cost souls if we don't step out there. And, you know, I love you, but you need to come to Christ, brother. You say that you know him, but you need to come back to him. You know, he is there for you. And he tells us, brother, we cannot deny this. Those who do not eat the bread and those who do not drink the blood can have no life in them. You would not risk that, would you? Be like, I think he's symbolic. You know, he might be symbolic, but this is Jesus our Lord. It is God. And he tells us, I am the bread of heaven. This is my body and this is my blood. And so every time, brother, I don't know how you experience this, but when I'm down on my knees there at Mass and that host is being lifted, you know, your eyes are on the ground and you hear that it's given up for you, and your eyes go up and the priest rises the host. And then one priest told me, he said, it is not me lifting Christ, it is Christ lifting me. And you get to witness there. I would repeat the words of Thomas, my Lord and my God. He is there in front of us. In many masses, and I hope all of the masses, there's this deafening silence. Like right now, this is beautiful.
Yeah.
He is there. We witness our Lord. I'm getting goosebumps everywhere. He's in front of us. It is him. bow down, say your prayers, even if it's just tears. Tear up, let the tears flow. Show him. He tells us, come all to me, you are weary and burdened. Come to me. All right, we are here, Lord. Domine ecce ego. Lord, I am here. And he is there for us. This is grace. This is where we want all our brothers and sisters who believe in Christ to know him, to meet him, so that they may also experience this tremendous amount of love that he has left for us in every tabernacle in the world. Amen.
Yeah, I think therein lies the challenge of us really thinking about that and making that the center of what we bring, not just thinking, you know, I want to convert people to the Catholic faith. You could say that, you know, but thinking, I want to convert people to the Eucharist.
I want like them almost, to come back to Jesus.
Because if that happens, everything else comes back. Everything else.
Well, on that, the thing is, and that's what, you know, that's what Protestants know too. Jesus saves. And Jesus is the Eucharist. So it's like the Eucharist saves because it is Jesus. And we are so blessed to know this. And we are so blessed to have fully said yes to the bread. In our brokenness, we are still broken. We are still sinners. And there it is, the next gift, confession, to be able to stay close to God again and again and again and again. Because we can, because God lets us, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We can always come back. And we want to come back. Whenever I get to go to confession, I don't have to go to confession. I get to go to confession. It is a gift. We are there. We are forgiven once again. And you walk away in a state of grace. I feel light as a feather. It's literally, you feel what it does. It is true. And so all we can invite them to is to experience it. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes to the sacraments, and everything else will flow from there. You will find people in our church that you don't like. You will find priests that you don't agree with. But so many of us, you know, there are things that we don't like, you know, but we all agree on the heart. The heart is the Eucharist. And we accept the authority that is given to the bishops, even at times when we don't like it. But we won't walk away from Jesus because of people, because that makes no sense. Yeah. We cannot leave the church because of people, because it's Jesus. It's Jesus' church. You know, even, you know what I'm saying? We cannot go. If we would leave for human reasons, we would be like so many in the Bible. Like, you know, we got to be honest. There's so many times in the Bible where you perhaps in your mind you might be judgmental a bit of people, and then you realize I've been like that. I was like that. Perhaps in some things you're still confronted, but you have to lovingly accept and give thanks for the fact that you're now confronted, and you give it back to the Lord, and perhaps you go to confession and lay it before his feet. It is all love. People need to stop saying that it's a punishment or that it's you must. No. It is a loving invite of Jesus Christ. Every single sacrament is a loving invite and a gift of Jesus Christ. You have free will. So it's up to you whether you're going to accept and receive the gifts of Jesus Christ. It's up to you.
Well, wonderful. I got to get going in a second, but so let's, and I'll cut this part up, but let's close up. Bart, thank
can
you.
I, can for I,
this. Yeah, yeah. Add one
thing. I want to do this. Please, for all faithful Catholics here who are watching this video, if you're praying your next rosary, please add the intention for all our Protestant brothers and sisters in Christ, so that, you know, we believe in the power. We know the rosary. It's all grace. So let us share that grace with one another for them. They're all brothers and sisters, you know. God loves them. We love them. But we need to find a way to bring them home. And what better than to ask our Blessed Mother and everything in the invisible to fight for them. Amen. Go ahead.
Amen. Bart, thank you so much for sharing this challenge and some of these things, and maybe confirming in people that are thinking these things, but sometimes it's hard to kind of put it into words. Everyone that joined us, thank you. Please pray this, keep this intention in your prayers. I hope this was something that blessed you. Please subscribe to the channel, and I'll see you in the next one.